I'm very keen to get to the baptisms, the guys in front. Really exciting. It's amazing always when we celebrate like this. And this is my little girl. Actually, she refused to go to Kitty's church because last night I told her we're going to have baptisms. And she's very keen to see the baptisms. Actually, the other night I put her to bed and I said to her, "Can we pray?" She said, "Yes, we can pray." And then I said to her, "Don't you want to invite Jesus into your heart?" And she got very upset. She said, "Daddy, I did that 2 weeks ago." Sort of like very upset that I forgot that she actually did invite. So at Kids Church, yes, she did that as they prayed for her. Anyway, so she's here for the baptism. I thought I'd go and fetch her, but she came by herself. My wife was going to be sharing tonight. I sent her to a conference in Pretoria, and she came back without a voice. She was probably speaking too much over there. In any case, she came back without a voice. She was going to share on how he loves. And so tonight is a bit of a freebie because we're entering a new session right in there. Liana will come back and she'll share what I wish they told me about God, that he loves us. A bit later, so the week following the 9th of April. And so I've got the opportunity to very briefly share something that is really on my heart and I believe on the Lord's heart. And, you know, one of the things that I wished people would have told me about God sooner, of course, in God's grace and his mercy, he knows us and he knows, you know, he's got his perfect timing. But I would have really liked people to tell me that he welcomes us home, to his home. And then he makes us his home. And that is something really special about God. The fact that he adopts us into his family, right? He comes and he fetches us. And we're estranged to God, the scripture says. We're born in sin. We're disconnected from him. But yet he comes and he adopts us. And that is really amazing. And not only does he adopt us into his home, he adopts us into his family. Because not only do we get reconciled to God the Father, we get reconciled to our brothers and sisters, and suddenly we know what real relationship is. And so, you know, I would have loved someone to tell me, but listen, Jesus wants to show you what real relationship is. Because back then I didn't know what real relationship is. And so I'm going to just share from Genesis chapter 2, verse 25. Just got a couple of scriptures, but mainly going to focus on this, verse 25 and chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. It says in verse 25, "Now the man and his wife were both naked, but they felt no shame." This is speaking about Adam and Eve, of course, in the Garden of Eden. And of course, physically we know that they were naked, but they felt no shame. But at the same time, even though it was physically the case, metaphorically, also, it was the case in the sense that that nakedness meant an emotional transparency and openness, because the scripture says that they dwelt with God. They were with God. They were in the garden, and they could freely commune with God. They could, I mean, just imagine for a second, you are in that garden, and God is there. You can speak to him face to face. That's literally what they had. Then we see the tragedy of that story, and the tragedy of man, in fact. In verse 7, of course, we know that they sinned, they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They sinned, they listened to the voice of temptation, and they gave into that temptation. Verse 7, it says, at that moment, my girl's getting very excited here. At that moment, their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. So we see the first response of sin. Shame enters. Suddenly, there's a breakdown. And I want you to see that the breakdown is not just with God and man, but the breakdown is between man and his wife. The breakdown is between man and his brother. Of course, at that stage, it was just Adam and Eve. But suddenly there was a breakdown in relationship. And since then, because sin had entered into the heart of man, there was a relational void. There was a gap. Once again, and I want you to see the cross. The cross has two bars, the one pointing to heaven and the one pointing this way. In other words, Jesus comes and he restores relationship. Firstly, man to God and man to man. That true relationship that Jesus or God intended for us. Shame is defined as a painful feeling of humiliation or distress caused by the consciousness of wrong or foolish behavior. Now I'm going to go quickly now. Put your thinking cap on. Hans Walter Wolf says, shame in the form of embarrassment and inhibition only penetrates the duality of man and woman as the result of the mistrust towards God. Gareth Weldon Ice Noggle. I don't know what you do if you've got a surname like that. That's quite an interesting one. The tendency of human beings to hide out of shame for our nakedness is the destructive force against human community. You want to know what destroys community, what breaks down community? It's that shame of our nakedness. Again, metaphorically, that emotional transparency, that ability to be open and to share and not be afraid. We both hide our sexuality and our spirituality in the presence of another being, whether God or human. While the desire for relationship is strong, the fear of intimacy is also strong. Do you see that tension? There's this desire for true and real relationship, real intimacy, but at the same time, there's this fear of intimacy. What's going to happen if someone comes too close? What's going to happen if I let someone in into my space, into my bubble? You know, and some of us are afraid. We're afraid of that intimacy. We so long for it, but we're afraid. And so we've got this tension, this thing that we're fighting against. John Bradshaw, he takes it a step further. We have something called which we call a toxic shame. Toxic shame is when shame is internalized. In other words, it goes a level deeper. It becomes part of our identity. We can talk about cultural shame as well. That's also a part of toxic shame where we internalize our cultural identities. But John Bradshaw says the following. He says, toxic shame is excruciatingly internal experience of unexpected exposure. It is a deep cut felt primarily from the inside. It divides us from ourselves and from others. In toxic shame, we disown ourselves, and this disowning demands a cover-up. It loves darkness and secretiveness. Right now, there you see it. There's the cover-up. There's the cover-up. There's the, you know, Adam and Eve covering themselves with leaves, right? And metaphorically, it speaks about what we do when we've got this need. You know, there's this drive when we need relationship, but we're not willing that either a person or God come into that space. And what we try then is we try the dark things, the secret things, the wrong things to cover up again. Gareth Weldon, I snuggle again, says, small groups, and, you know, in our church here, we feel very strong about small groups. We feel that, you know, we're not a church that does small groups. We're a small group church because church happens in small groups. That's where life happens. That's where, you know, we get into one another's space. That's where we learn to trust. We learn to allow God to work in and through us. The Holy Spirit is also called the Spirit of Community, the one that comes and helps us to grow in relationship. But he says, small groups are trapped in the paradox of hunger for intimacy, where God said in Genesis, it is not good for man to be alone. that struggle with being alone, and the fear of intimacy. They sewed fig leaves to cover themselves. And so we're trapped in this place. We're trapped in this place where we really want it. We really want true, authentic, real relationship. But we're afraid of it. And that's the amazing thing. When God comes, when Jesus comes, and again, that picture of the cross, you can actually put on the slide that says Jesus, because I want you to see the cross again, that restoration towards the Father and the restoration horizontally between our brothers, between the people that God has placed in your life. And I want you to see, I want you to understand, no matter where you are in your relationship with God, no matter how long you've been part of church, I want you just to sort of consider your heart. Where is your heart at? I believe, and this is what I see in Scripture, is that you and I cannot get to where God wants us without the relationships He's placed in our lives. We cannot get there because God has called us to be the body, right? We each bring a part. We each are a part. And it's not just about the purpose. There's a purpose to life. There's a purpose to what God wants to do. But first, He wants us to be whole. He wants us to be whole in Him so that we can have authentic, real relationship with Him. Jason, if you can just blast that video clip. I actually showed this video clip, I think about a year ago in church. It was when my girl was a bit younger. It's in Afrikaans because I didn't know I'm going to play it in church. But basically, I just tell her to trust me and to fall back. She says she's trusting me. She trusts me. She said it by herself. She trusts me to fall. So the other day, I actually forgot about this video. And she's now a year older. And I just randomly thought of let's just do this game again. And so she stood on the table and she said, okay, go now. And she really struggled. She really struggled. It was like really difficult. I mean, I don't know if you guys have tried it recently, just to fall back. Maybe we should try that. Maybe everyone should get on their chairs quickly. You're not feeling comfortable? Okay, it's fine. Any case, so she really struggled. And then that was the one day. The other day, I just randomly scrolled through my videos and pictures and so on. I came across that video. And I called her. I said, Malakam, check this. And she looked at it. And she said, well, she wants to do it now again. And, she got onto the table. And instantly, she just fell. And she learned to trust. And it was such a moment to me. It was such a moment of, maybe we trusted God. Maybe you trusted Him, and then just life happens. Maybe we just grow up a bit. And then suddenly it's a bit difficult again. And the fact of the matter is, our relationship with God is real. And it's more real than our earthly relationships. It's more real. And the moment you depend on experience you had, and you forget about what you have with your God, then there's a distance. There's a distance between your mic, and suddenly you struggle just again to fall back. And I believe that God wants to do that again tonight. He wants us to just fall back and just trust that He's there. He's the Father. He's not going to let you, He's not going to drop you, but He's going to catch you. He's going to catch you. And that is the Father, the Heavenly Father that we serve. That is the church that God wants. And tonight, He's going to make us His church. Tonight, He's going to make us a family. Right? He's going to transform us and make us again a family that trusts in the Father. A family that allows our hearts to be vulnerable. And trust one another, that we're vulnerable with one another, because Christ comes with the cross, with the power of the cross, to break the shame. to finish the shame so that we can know one another. Just a couple of encouraging scriptures, and then we're going to get into the baptism. Lincoln's going to share something soon as well. Acts chapter 4, verse 32. Now, I said that Jesus, because Jesus comes, walks into this world. No one's ever seen a person like Jesus. He does the unexpected, the impossible, the unbelievable things. But he shows us, more than everything else, he shows us the greatest miracle is that of true relationship. That of relationship with the Father and restoration. He reconciles. And he takes 12 men, 12 really broken men, 12 really ordinary men. We sometimes read the scriptures and we think these apostles, they were amazing. They were really broken. They were really, you know, in a bad space, bad place. They were, if I actually look at scripture, I think some of them were actually depressed. You know, but Jesus comes, he steps into their lives. For 3 years, he teaches them, what does relationship mean? He just teaches, he doesn't expect massive things. He doesn't teach them, you know, he does teach them the word and he connects them to the word and God, the Father. But he actually just, in essence, he teaches them relationship. What is man intended to be? And man is intended to be a relational person, right? To be connected to the Father. But then we see the book of Acts, after these 3 years, look at what Christ did with these disciples. Verse 32 of chapter 4. Now, the full number of those who believed were of one heart and one soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they have had everything in common. They were in communion. They had perfect unity, right? Christ had established unity. And if you just think of the disciples, you can think of several scenarios where they were not the best friends. In fact, they fought a lot of times about who's the greatest, who's the best. In fact, there was a lot of times very little unity. But Jesus came, unified them. Acts chapter 17, verse 6. Then this unified group of people had a purpose, right? But the purpose flowed from their intimacy with one another and with God. Jesus says right at the start when he calls his disciples, the scripture says that he chose 12 to be with him. To firstly just know him, get to know him and have intimacy with him. And then Acts chapter 4 verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. They prayed together and their prayers had power. Their prayers shook the place, literally. That's the power of agreement. That's the power that God has for his people, his chosen ones, his church, his body. As we come together, we choose to be vulnerable, open up our hearts to one another, and we are the church. Turn to the person next to you and say, be the church. Right, Lenka's going to quickly come up. She's going to just share of her art and explain several things to us. Then we're going to pray.
Good evening, church. It's very good to be back here. For those of you who don't know, I was in Shafaranabosh last year. But this year I moved back to Stellenbosch, but it feels like I'm with family, and it's good to be with family again tonight. In the past couple of weeks leading up to tonight, I've experienced how God has challenged me personally to open my heart in vulnerability towards him. And I believe there's something specific he wants to share with us tonight, so I invite you just in your own hearts just to choose to open your hearts to that which God wants to do tonight. I'm sorry, my English is not so good. But I trust you'll understand. So, I invite you to just open your hearts to what I want to share and really ask the Holy Spirit to show you specifically what this means in your life right now, and that's my faith for tonight. While praying, I saw a picture of a person in a garden, wanting to make a beautiful garden with flowers and trees and digging up weeds, but nothing seems to grow. This person is actually very tired and hot from being in the sun all day, but it's really working hard because he wants this garden and he wants to make this beautiful thing, but it continues digging and continues pulling up weeds and nothing seems to happen. He faithfully waters these plants and at the end I could see this man, I just got this overwhelming feeling of weariness, of a tiredness and a disappointment for working so hard towards something that seems good, but nothing happens. And I'm so happy to follow on what Reina's already shared, because I believe that it's those kinds of disappointment in our lives that often leads to us closing up, withdrawing from God and from others. I have some picture that I'd like to show. You can put up the first one. So it's an illustration of a foot with thorns, and then at the bottom it says, "Allow my hands for healing, for feet to run again." The next picture. So that's for me, that's the hand of Jesus with a hole, and from it there's new life coming forth, and scripture in the branches says, "Abide in me, I am the resurrection and the life." I believe most of you know this one. It's hanging there in the foyer. While praying last year for one of our memorial artworks for healing and deliverance, God showed me this image of trees just growing and life, and it formed this heart, and with it the scripture in Isaiah 55 that says, instead of the thorn shall come up a tree, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. You can go to the next one, the last one. This is a illustration of a bird caught in wire, and the bird is struggling to get free, but it's barbed wire, so as the bird struggles, the wire actually just goes deeper into the flesh of the bird and becomes more entangled, and then with it I got the scripture, "Call to me, and I will answer you. Call upon me, and I will deliver you. Call upon me, and I will set you in a broad place." So it's the promise of God's deliverance, his healing, when we choose to call on him. So this is background of God's promise that he is the resurrection and the life. God says, "Come to me, I am your life. I am your freedom. I am your healing. I am. I don't expect you to be. I don't expect you to understand, but I am." And then as I was thinking, as Rana started his sermon tonight, what I thought I wish people would have told me about God, I saw that on the slide in the corner, what I wish people told me. And I realized that what I wish people have told me from the beginning is that I don't need to know when I'm struggling, when I feel like the bird caught in the barbed wire, when I feel like I've got these thorns in my feet and I don't know how to run, or when I try to move it hurts, or I'm stuck in disappointment, or I only see darkness and chaos around me and I don't know how to get to a point of resolve, I don't know how to get to a point where there's light and life. I wish someone would have told me, you don't have to know. It's not up to you to figure it out. Your solution is not in your means to get to where you think you need to go. You don't even need to know where you need to go. I didn't mean to rhyme there. that was for free. So I wish people would have told me, you don't. It's not up to you. Your hope is not in your means. Your hope is not in what you can even perceive or understand in yourself. But there's God. He's calling out. He's reaching out. And he wants to be. He says, you don't have to try. You don't have to know, for I am. And he's inviting us to surrender to that invitation of I am. And when we were at a conference in the beginning of the week, we had the privilege to create some artwork for the people there, and we really trusted God for an uplifting, encouraging word for these women. And God's promise, or the word of God, came and said that he really wants to restore life. He wants to bring life in hearts that are tired and hopeless and disappointment. And I believe that's the same word for tonight as well. God God wants to bring forth life. He says, though your heart and your flesh may fail, I am the strength of your heart and your portion forever. He says, though hope deferred makes your heart grow sick, a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. And I believe that God wants to come fulfill desires that have led to disappointment, that led to a lot of hurt in our hearts. He wants to fulfill that. But so as I was standing there at the conference, and I want to draw a nice picture. I want to draw something beautiful, something to encourage these people. And I feel like God is saying, "What I must dip a piece of rope in ink, put it on the paper, cover it with another paper, and then pull out the rope and allow that to be my starting point." And as you can see, I work with quite a lot of detail, usually fine pen, very precise. I like to craft something specifically. So that was very difficult for me. I stood there for a long time, and I had a backup plan. I had this image that I would draw, and I started drawing the outlines in pencil, and then I started, no, I'm going to do this. But there was only one paper. So if I made a mistake, there was no do-over. This was it. I had to trust God. And I dipped the rope in the ink. I put it on the paper and I pulled it out. I made a small, I did the same exercise again just to show more or less what happens when you do that. It's just an ink mess, basically. there's no form or function, there's nothing specific about it, and there's really no way of telling what will happen once you've pulled that rope. But as I stood there looking at this, I felt God saying, this is the condition of your heart. I felt God, like I felt a tiredness, a weariness, from where I've put my hope and my trust in things in the past that have disappointed me, almost like trying to build this Jenga tower, and you're trying to build through life, and then people come and they remove these blocks, and then eventually the tower falls, and then you're very hesitant to build past a certain height again, because you know the higher you build, the more the odds are that it will fall over. So it's very difficult to trust again. And as I saw this mess, it was ugly. I didn't like it at all, and I couldn't make sense of it. And I saw, like, at the ends of this mess, I saw these branches almost coming from them. And I took up my pen and I started drawing the ends together, and then from them branches very finely. And I just felt God saying that I am life, I am resurrection, I am life. So from this, God creates life, from the mess. And he's not showing me the mess and saying, Lenka, this is what you need to do to fix the mess. This is what you need to do to clear it up. He's saying, allow me in it. But the key I want to share with you is that in order for me, firstly, to see that the disappointment in my own heart, the weariness, the tiredness, I had to let go of control. I had to let go of my ability to fix, my ability to cover, my ability to keep everything together, to sort it out, to make sense of things. I had to let go of my understanding, my perceived reality, my idea of what it should be or what it could be. I had to let go of the outcome. I had to let go of control, and invite God, allow him to be all that he is and all that he longs to be for us. He wants to fulfill our desires with himself. He wants to resurrect our hope in him, our life in him. That's just what I wanted to share with you tonight.
Thanks, Lenka. Can you stand with me tonight as we're going to just practically respond to that? Won't you just stand, please? One of the guys also said tonight, I so enjoyed your sharing. It was so powerful that... that he made lots of plans, and then he realized, but listen, let's just give over to God. Let's just give over to him. His plans are so much better. His plans are so much greater. And I want to just encourage us to, wherever you're at, respond tonight. Respond. God knows. God knows. You don't need to figure it out. All you need to know, all you need to do is you need to say, God, I surrender. I give over to you. So why don't you just close your eyes and allow God to come in and to be who He is. He's the restorer. He's the rebuilder. He rebuilds again the ancient ruins. He restores the breach. Thank you, Father, that you know your sons and daughters. And Father, you know where we're at and you know where we need to be. You know where you're going with us. And so, Father, we give you the right to come and work in our hearts, to come and again allow us to trust, to once again restore to us trust that, God, we could just let go and fall in your arms again. Trust the hands of the Father. Thank you for that picture, God, of the hands of the Father coming to untangle, coming to remove those wires, those barbed wires, those circumstances and situations of life that have forced us into a mold, that have forced us into being something that we are not, something that you have not made us to be. So God, we give you the place. Remove the shame, God. Remove the shame from your sons and daughters, God. And be the healer. Be the healer in this place, Lord. We thank you, God, that by your stripes, we are healed. I want to ask, while every eye is closed, if you want to respond to any of that, I want you just to be bold and to raise your hands, both your hands, to the heavens. Say, God, come and restore. God, come and reconcile. God, come and reconnect me. God, I allow you. Take over the mess. Make something of this mess. There's many hands going up. Let's just enjoy this moment, this sacred moment where God comes in. The Bible says, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. So by stretching out your hands, it's a sign saying, God, I'm drawing near. I'm drawing near to you. God is always faithful. Sometimes we feel Him. Sometimes our emotions are moved. Some of you are going to be emotionally moved. Sometimes you feel Him even physically. Sometimes you just feel nothing. But you know what? God is always faithful. God is always faithful. He remains faithful. So Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus that you come and touch every heart, that you come in. Change us. You make us new. Thank you, Jesus, that you make all things new. You remove shame, God. You remove guilt. And I thank you, God, that you finish the good work that you have started until your Son Jesus returns. Until that moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we'll be perfect. We'll be perfected because we'll see our Maker face to face. But until that day, God, we want to say yes to the divine dance. We want to say yes to the dance with our King, with the King of Kings, the one that comes and takes our hands and spins with us, the one that does life with us and makes something beautiful. Thank you that you awaken eternity in the hearts of men and women in this place here tonight. I'm going to ask while we just allow the Holy Spirit to continue, but if you raised your hand, or even if you didn't raise your hand tonight, but you've made a decision, or you want to make a decision, to say, Jesus, you are the Lord of my life. Maybe you've never publicly confessed that Jesus is your Lord. Maybe you've been far away from Him. And I want you to just keep your hand up. Or just put your hand up again. Saying, God, I come back. I come back to your home, into your house. And I reconcile to you the Father. There's a couple of hands that have gone up. That's you, don't be shy. Just put up your hand very high. Say, that's me. I need to make right with my Maker. anyone else. Hallelujah. There's many in this place that are reconciling to the Father. That is the greatest decision that you can ever make. And I want to ask all those people that have raised their hands to be very bold. Jesus died in a public place with his arms wide open, and an invitation for you and me to come to him. And I want you to symbolically come to him tonight, to his throne. And I want you to come out from where you are. I want you to come and stand right in front. If you guys can step forward. If you raise your hand, please come forward. Let's just put our hands together for these people. Just quickly come. If you're feeling a bit shy, just turn to the person next to you. Just say, come with me. I'm a bit scared. Just quickly come forward. This is a special moment. All you guys that are responding, this is amazing. This is really amazing. There's some other people that still need to be in front. We're going to wait for you. Let's give this man a hand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to ask you guys to pray after me. I'm going to lead you. I want you to pray from your heart. And I want you to pray from like you're coming to Christ for the first time. That purity. Saying, God, I'm just going to come and I'm going to fall back into your arms. I'm going to surrender all. I'm going to give in to you. If you need to be here, quickly step forward. Or pray this prayer with us. Let's pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for your love. That your love is unmovable. Your love is unchangeable. Your love is steadfast. And tonight, I come to receive. I receive you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, into my life. Be my Lord and my Savior, and save me tonight. Make me new. Have some people, some of the facilitators, to quickly come forward. I want to say to you guys that you can know that you are a son or a daughter of the living King, because you've asked. Jesus will come. He will save you. He will be faithful, because we respond to his word. So thank you for that.
I believe that there are certain people here, or for me, I know specifically that was the case, but I believe tonight also there's a lot of us that have, our trust have been broken by people, by circumstances, by situations that didn't go the way we thought it would, by whatever the case might be, our trust have been broken. And that we are so aware of this mess in our hearts, but we cannot actually allow the healing because we cannot actually trust someone outside of ourselves for the healing. And I believe there's an invitation tonight to bring that trust, like Adam and Eve with the fig leaves that covered themselves up. I believe there's an invitation to come and lay down that self-covering that comes from that broken trust and shame. I believe, God, there's an invitation to just come and lay down that self-covering, to know love's embrace, to know mercy's embrace, to know what it is to be covered by God Almighty, to know what it is to live and move and have your being in Him, to be steadfast and immovable. That's our promise, that's our inheritance. And I believe by bringing our trust, by coming to lay down that self-cover, we can enter into that promise. So I just want to invite anyone that your trust has been broken and you have hurt in your heart. And it's difficult. It's difficult to choose to trust again. It's difficult to open up. But I want to encourage you and say that your promised land, your inheritance, is to be covered by God Almighty. Not your own means, not your own understanding, not that which leads to disappointment and hurt and is so limited in your own control, but true freedom and love. So I just want to invite you to respond.
Let's actually pray for that. Can I ask us to stand again? And just as a symbolic act, won't you just take the person's hand next to you? We're going to pray a very specific prayer. We're going to say, God, come and make a home of me. That is a very difficult thing actually to pray. It's come and make a home of me. There's one thing where God comes and He invites us into His home. But then He says, but I want to live in you. And I want to dwell in you. And I'm going to dwell in you as a collective people. But that takes a boldness. That takes a trust. That takes a saying, God, I'm going to trust you to come and do that which you want to do in me. So let's just pray that prayer. Lord, come and make me a home that you can dwell in. Come and transform me. Come and fix me, Lord. I choose, Lord, to stop trying, to stop fixing myself. I choose, Lord, to stop blaming others for what is happening in my heart. And I choose, Lord, to receive your grace and your mercy and your truth. Make me new, Lord. Make me into a home. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray just tonight for your people, your house, your church, your ecclesia, that you would come collectively and corporately, make us a home that you want to dwell in, God. Father, we choose to step away from our humanistic perceptions of this world and this life and this reality, and we choose to have a God perception, a God perspective. And we choose to say, God, we want to be a collective, a group of people that receive you. Father, you say in your word that no longer do you live in buildings made with man's hands, but you dwell in us, your temple. We are your church. We are your home. We are your building. And we thank you that you come and dwell in us. Make your home in us. In Jesus' name.